It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Peter Apathy, and this is Raven News. The only vertebrate paleontologist in the state of Alaska will give a seminar tonight about what we can learn from Triassic-era rock found all over southeast Alaska. Patrick Druckenmiller is also the Earth Science Curator at the University of Alaska Museum in Fairbanks. He says that 210 million years ago, the rock that lines southeast Alaska used to be in an entirely different latitude, with entirely different animal life, marine reptiles.
So we have these ancient rocks that hold evidence of such a very different world, when Alaska hadn't even been assembled yet, when this part of Alaska, southeast Alaska, was actually in tropical latitudes. And it was a series of volcanic islands, and these marine reptiles were swimming on the margins of these islands, sort of tropical paradise. That was southeast Alaska 210 million years ago.
Druckenmiller studies the fossils of these marine reptiles and says that southeast is the best place in Alaska to find them.
You could have gone out, instead of whale watching 200 million years ago in southeast Alaska, you could have gone ichthyosaur watching.
An ichthyosaur is a type of marine reptile, which Druckenmiller says is particularly interesting because of how much they range in size. The reptiles could be as small as a harbor porpoise or as large as a blue whale. In his seminar, Druckenmiller plans to share findings on a small ichthyosaur specimen that was found in Gravina Island years ago. And earlier this year, Druckenmiller worked with fossil preparators to clean a thalatosaur fossil, another type of Triassic marine reptile, which was discovered near Cake 2 years ago. Scientists believe it is a new species of thalatosaur, and Druckenmiller says they've already chosen a name, although it's a secret until they finish the cleaning process and follow proper publishing protocol.
Yeah, I think the thing about these sorts of finds is it's a really good reminder to us, first of all, I mean, how short a period of time we've been on this planet compared to all the life in the past of the world.
Jim Batchel from the Forest Service will present with Druckenmiller. The seminar, titled Triassic Marine Reptiles from the Tropics of Southeast Alaska, starts at 7:30 p.m. at the University of Alaska Southeast. You can find a link to the story about the thalatosaur fossil discovered near Cake on our website at kcaw.org. There won't be many appropriations for Southeast Alaska projects this legislative session. That's the word from Sitka Senator Bert Stedman, who represents most of the region outside Juneau, Petersburg, and Skagway. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports as part of a series on Southeast lawmakers' session priorities.
In past sessions, the legislature has put millions of dollars towards regional hydro projects. Stedman says it's usually linked to energy appropriations for South Central and the Interior, but the former co-chairman of the Senate Finance Committee doesn't expect that to happen this time around.
I don't see a pressing need this year that the Rail Belt's going to push forward with any energy projects, at least that I'm aware of. So I think it's going to be pretty difficult for rural Alaska just to come up with their own energy plan and get the votes to do anything.
Governor Sean Parnell's capital budget includes $10 million towards the Susitna-Wautana Dam north of Anchorage. That's a small fraction of its $5.2 billion overall cost. But there was nothing for Sitka's Blue Lake, Ketchikan Swan Lake, or any other panhandle hydro project. Parnell said lawmakers could convince him to add other projects. The legislature also reworks that budget. But Stedman says the Blue Lake Dam, which is being raised, is unlikely to get more money this year.
It is more challenging to get funding for a project that's already going to get built or is being built than it is to put together a financial package before the construction contracts are let.
The Sitka Republican says other district projects needing funding include the Ketchikan Shipyard and Angoon Sewer System. He says the state also needs to put more money aside to replace additional marine highway ships.
If we diddly-daddle around, by the time we get these Alaska-class ferries built and we get the Tuscumena replaced, if we don't, in my opinion, have a sinking fund set up and we continually put away, as an example, $50 million a year into the marine replacement, by the time we get those first three ships built, the rest of these boats are going to be another 10 years older and are already old as we speak.
Stedman last year proposed a bounty on sea otters, which eat shellfish southeast divers and crabbers harvest. His bill brought strong criticism from environmental groups, and the federal agency managing otters said it would violate marine mammal protection laws. The legislation is still in play. Stedman says he wants to find a different way to support native hunters, the only people allowed to harvest otters and process their pelts.
I need to sit down with Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation and have a few more meetings in Juneau to work out what we're actually going to change it to, if it's going to end up, you know, trying to be a marketing assistance or tanning assistance or something else. But the chances of the bill going forward as it's written without being rewritten to take out the bounty is slim.
Stedman's Senate district includes Ketchikan, Wrangell, Cake, Craig, and other towns where timber used to be a major industry. He says he supports the governor's attempt to get 2 million acres of the Tongass National Forest turned over to Alaska.
If the state was to take basically all of northern Prince of Wales outside of, you know, the native land selections and home sites and stuff like that, that would give us a timber base that we could run a fairly good size economic generation off of.
Stedman is one of six legislators representing Southeast Alaska. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
This year's session begins Tuesday, January 21st. You can read and hear other reports in our series on Southeast lawmakers' session priorities through links posted on our website, kcaw.org. A traditional housing facility opening in Juneau in about 2 months will fill an important need for Southeast Alaska. Called Haven House, it will provide temporary housing for as many as 9 women who've just been paroled or released from prison. K200's Matt Miller has the story.
That there are not any transitional living homes in Juneau, and it's going to make a difference for women coming out of jail.
That's Katie Chapman. She's chair of the Juneau Reentry Coalition, a group of agencies and local social service organizations created to coordinate resources for those who have left the correction system. 2/3 of all Alaska inmates return to prison within 3 years. That's from research done by the Alaska Judicial Council in 2007. Former inmates are especially susceptible to recidivism, or getting stuck in that revolving door of reoffending and returning to prison, sometimes as soon as the first 6 months after release. Chapman says there are several factors in a former inmate's success on the outside.
The housing and finding a job and finding a safe pro-social group of people to connect with and, you know, establish like a good start in their recovery, you know, and in their integration back into the community. And, you know, when they don't have that support, it makes it very difficult for them to stay connected, and it's easy for them to fall back into patterns and, you know, whatever survival mechanisms they had in place that got them involved into criminal activity.
Haven House will operate in a 6-bedroom home just purchased in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley near Glacier Valley School.
But we're really excited. We're finally going to be opening.
Rachel Sanders of the Haven House Board says the idea originated with longtime prison volunteer Ellen Campbell years ago. Sanders says they had the home picked out last month and put down earnest money for potential purchase. They planned on applying for an AHFC loan to cover the rest of the purchase price, but an anonymous benefactor stepped in and purchased the residence on Christmas Eve.
We're thrilled.
The anonymous angel donor, as they're being called, will rent the house back to the Haven House organization until they can acquire grants to purchase the home outright. Sanders says the donor just closed on the purchase late last week. The Juneau Community Foundation has offered a matching grant from the Gagin Fund to raise $10,000 for the home's furnishings and appliances. Amy Skillbred is executive director for the foundation.
Basically, we think it's an important project for the community to have a housing or transitional housing for women coming out of the correctional facilities.
Women released from Lemon Creek Correctional Center in Juneau or Highland Mountain Correctional Center in Eagle River could apply for one of 9 beds in the home. Haven House's Rachel Sanders says they'll have a structured, faith-based living environment that will include referrals to counseling, life skills training, employment coaching, and connections to substance abuse treatment programs.
It's the residents' choice to participate because, of course, we can't force them to participate given that we're accepting state monies. So knowing that there's going to be perhaps Bible studies or mentors from the community that come into the house and work with the residents, maybe on crafts, you know, whatever, it definitely will be a part of the daily structure.
Each resident can stay up to 2 years. They'll be expected to find a job, pay rent, and help with the household chores. Haven House's Kara Nelson will share management duties with co-director Ann Flaherty. And Nelson is very familiar with the challenges that women face when they get out of prison, as she is a felon herself.
With felonies, there's actually a lifetime ban on getting housing through the state or other public assistance, as well as just coming out of prison and not having anywhere to go, whether that's going back to your abusive partner or family and friends that use, and not having that safe place to live to really get to the core of the issues and move forward.
Nelson says she was able to move forward with the support of family, mentors, and community organizations.
For me, it was having those mentors and getting to a place of self-acceptance where I can then go out in the community and believe that I'm not just a felon, or I'm not just a drug addict, or I'm not, you know, putting these labels on myself, which is a big stigma, not just in society, but for us, having been in that for so long.
It's unclear how many women are released in the Juneau area every year. Nelson estimates that it could be several dozen. She says they just got the keys to the house on Monday, and they're not opening until mid-March, but they're already accepting applications from prospective residents. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
And that's all for Raven News this morning. This is Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka. Quick look at Sitka's weather for today. Becoming windy, rain heavy at times. Temperatures steady around 48 degrees. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, increasing to 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 40 miles per hour in the morning. And for tonight, rain, lows around 41, southeast winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Currently 47 degrees under overcast skies. Hope you can stick with us at 8:18. We have a couple of special guests in for the studio, Steve Brown and Peter Corey. Thanks for joining me.